Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good morning. This morning, Ann Klockner joins us again with Legal Aid Works. Lots to talk about. Ann, good morning. Good to have you back with us this morning.
Good morning, Ted. I'm glad to be here.
We've got a lot of things to talk about. Ann has been hands down have been on the most during the pandemic with really some great information on a lot of different areas. And one of the things that you early on when various things went through Congress and we talked about the whole unemployment situation and just some of the changes made during the pandemic for unemployment, and one of those benefits ends today.
It does, and I want to be really clear about what ends and what doesn't end, because I think when people hear something ended, they assume that all unemployment ended, unemployment help or benefits. So we always have had unemployment insurance in the last, few decades, so that's nothing new. And you file your unemployment benefits through your state. And what had changed in the pandemic was they added an extra $600 a week. And you just automatically would get an additional $600 a week. And that started March 27th. And at that time, when the CARES Act was passed, they extended that extra $600 a week through July 31st. And when you were thinking about this in March, you probably thought July was a long time away. We'd get a handle on this. We'd sort this all out. July would be fine.
Yeah.
And July 31st is today.
Yeah, I know. And we're
that kind of jumped up.
It is, and you think about what we were talking about, like you said, back in March and April, and we thought, oh, by now, and we're really about in the same place.
Yeah, and sometimes in some areas even worse. So the difficulty is that it's going to take Congress in Washington to extend this. And they're having a little bit of trouble agreeing that the sky is blue and the grass is green. So we're not expecting the $600 a week to be extended, at least right this second. So what that just practically means for folks who are on unemployment right now is that extra $600 a week is going to fall off, but the regular unemployment benefits that you've been getting, you're still entitled to get those. Those are not going to suddenly stop. That was the thing I really wanted to make sure people understand.
Okay.
Is yes, the extra $600 that was added on because of the CARES Act and because of the pandemic is stopping as of today, unless they extend it through some miracle. And that doesn't mean though that we suddenly don't have unemployment benefits anymore.
It's just that one area that we talked about. Boy, and it is frustrating that for people to not know, this could be extended at some point or not. It's just kind of frustrating that Congress can't agree, like you're saying, something like this.
Well, I would just say that the smartest thing to do is to assume no and be pleasantly surprised if it's yes. That just would be the practical way to do it. Another addition through the CARES Act, unemployment, as far as I can tell, has not changed, and that is if you've run out of your number of weeks of employment, you still have 13 extra weeks that the CARES Act extended state unemployment insurance programs by 13 weeks for those who've exhausted their usual employment allowance. So 13 extra weeks is really helpful.
Yes. Yeah. So that goes. And the other thing that we have talked about throughout this is that there were some sectors and in some people that had certain jobs that were not eligible for unemployment were eligible during all of this time. Do you know what the status is for them?
Yeah, so that's called PUA. That stands for Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. And that's for people who really are not normally eligible for regular unemployment insurance. They're self-employed, or they're independent contractors, or they're freelancers, maybe workers that just want to work part-time and don't want full-time work, or can't work full-time, or workers without a long enough history to qualify for unemployment benefits. All of those folks had traditionally always been closed out of unemployment, but during the pandemic, they are eligible and can apply, and they can even get retroactive benefits if they have found, you know, if they have qualified. And that runs from January 27th, so they backed it up for 2 months before the March CARES Act,
yeah,
through December 31st of this year. So that is still up and running. Nobody has changed that, and it has not expired because they didn't set a July 31st deadline on that. So they pushed that out through the rest of this year, basically. So you're eligible for retroactive benefits. So even if you've just heard about this today, you can go apply. And if they find out that your circumstances were such that this happened to you in, let's say, March or April or May, you can get retroactive benefits. You can access these benefits for 39 weeks, and it really is a much broader category than we've ever had for unemployment. But that's something folks who are really struggling, who don't have regular work right now, should really look into. It would not hurt to apply. And I just want to also inject a little reality into this. The VEC, the Virginia Employment Commission, is pretty much swamped. So they will take your application. And I've heard stories that it's going to take a little while for you to get your benefits. Other people have gotten them really quickly. But it really is important to at least go through the process and get your foot in the door.
Well, it really is a mixed bag here, Ann. And like you say, it's no matter where you're at, it's worth checking, looking, and checking all of this out because, boy, there are a lot of moving parts to this. Some things end, some aren't. Some you should. There's just a lot there.
It is, and that's why I think just a headline or somebody scanning their phone real quickly, which is how a lot of people get their news, they hear about something ending and they think, okay, well, then I can't apply. You absolutely can apply. The only thing that's ending right now, as far as we know, is the extra $600 a week.
And what happens with that, like you say, just assume it's not coming back. And if it does, you can be pleasantly surprised.
That's probably the best advice we can give at this point. And there's always been debates. As long as we've had unemployment insurance, there's always been debates about whether this makes less likely that people want to go out and look for jobs. Oh, if you're paying them not to work, maybe it won't work. A lot of studies have shown that most people really, really, really want to work, and they want to get far more than what unemployment benefits can give them. And so the idea that there's an incentive to just say, oh, great, I don't have to work, doesn't really pan out usually. Most people just really, really, really want to get back to normal and want to start working.
You, through all these weeks that we have talked, and we'll do this a couple of times this morning, but you always have given us some great websites for people that have questions or just want to get want to find out more. Do you have a couple of those?
Sure. So the one that I always, I myself go to to make sure I'm current and up to date and understand what's is a wonderful organization called Virginia Poverty Law Center, and that website is vplc.org. So Virginia Poverty Law Center, vplc.org. And what they do is they are a statewide organization that advocates for low-income Virginians who are facing civil legal issues. And so they have a wonderful COVID site, part of their website, that really breaks down a lot of information for folks about unemployment, about evictions and foreclosures, about the effects of the pandemic on family law, on immigration issues, on consumer and debt issues. How about utility costs? All of those things are covered very, very thoroughly and very well. In English and Spanish. So it's a really accessible website. We really appreciate the effort that they've done to put that together.
VPLC.org for the Virginia Poverty Law Center. Legal Aid Works and Ann Klockner here this morning. Ann's website is LegalAidWorks.org. We will continue along this morning. Much more to talk about. We will be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chu.
Ann Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works. We're talking about various aspects of the pandemic and living through a pandemic. Boy, and one of the topics that we have spent a lot of time on over these months is the protections that there have been for tenants, and that ends tomorrow. And I know the governor was going to ask the state Supreme Court to extend that. I don't know if as far as I know, nothing has happened on that so far.
Right. So there's, similar situation. There's a lot of moving parts, and some protections are still in place, and some have fallen off. So let's just walk through what some potential protections are when someone is renting and is having trouble paying their rent, because then, of course, they're really at risk for eviction. And it doesn't really take a lot of thought to figure out why evictions are pretty much against everything we're talking about in the pandemic. So tell me how you can wash your hands appropriately and all that when you're living on the streets. People have three options when they're evicted. They can try to find another place, which is very difficult when you've been evicted because future landlords look at your record of evictions. And so that's really tough. You can try to find a place at a friend or relative's. That means you're crowding into more space, less space. And that's not really good for the pandemic, to socially distance when you've got now extra family members suddenly cramming into your own apartment because they got evicted.
Yeah.
Or you go to a shelter, and the shelters are having difficulty making sure, they're doing their best to try to keep everybody safe. But again, it puts you in contact with a lot of people. So, and then, of course, the other option is just being out on the street. So none of those options after you're evicted are really going to help us stop the pandemic. So that's why it's super important for us to look for ways to avoid these evictions. So there were two wonderful tools that have been in play in the last few months that have really helped stem the tide of evictions. One of those expired last Saturday, actually, but it's a little complicated, so I'm going to walk you through it so that you'll understand just if that's something that you can use and avoid an eviction, or if that is just done and you can't use it anymore. So if your landlord has a federally backed mortgage, so that means Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the VA, HUD, Department of Agriculture, any one of those kinds of federally backed mortgages, that landlord cannot evict somebody until at least July 25th. So that was last Saturday. And even then, after July 25th, the landlord must give the tenant 30 days notice before he starts an eviction proceeding.
Okay.
So that means August 25th. So yes, as of last week, that eviction moratorium on federally backed mortgages, if the landlord had that, that went away, but it still means we're within that 1 month period where the landlord has to give that notice first before evicting someone. So there are instantly two problems that you see with that. Number one, how the heck would I know as a tenant whether my landlord has a federally backed mortgage or not? You just don't.
No.
You know, you don't know if they have a mortgage, let alone whether they have a federally backed mortgage or not. Maybe they're owning it free and clear. Maybe they're a corporation and they don't have that because they've paid for all of their mortgages. I have no idea. So what that really means is showing up in court on the date that you've been ordered to show up for the first return date, which is what they call that first hearing for an eviction, and say, hey, I wonder if my landlord can show and prove to the court, you know, put it on the landlord to show up and prove that he isn't holding a federally backed mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little awkward. And then the second issue with all of that is making sure that the landlord has sent out the proper notices. We have seen a lot of courts in our 17 counties that we cover that simply don't ask anything about it. And if the tenants don't bring it up, and if the landlord surely doesn't bring it up, the courts are not bringing it up. And we've seen several that we're pretty sure were under the CARES Act that have just kind of slid through. I mean, they weren't clients of ours. We just watched them in court. And so that really puts the burden on the tenant to pipe up in court and see if they can get the judge to ask these questions.
Mm. Boy,
that's
difficult.
Kind of tough.
Yeah, that is very that's really difficult to know all that and amongst everything else that's going on.
Right, and if the landlord says, no, I don't have that, the tenant really doesn't have any recourse. Even if they kind of think that they do, or they looked up on a website, thought they saw something on that. So it's up to the court, really, to decide whether they're going to make an issue of this or not. We have seen some judges who ask that question, hey, do you have a federally backed mortgage? And if they can't prove that they don't, they dismiss the case because it was filed before July 25th. Or actually before August 25th, because that's what the law says, you have that 30 days. So that's kind of interesting. Even though July 25th has come and gone, we still have that 30-day notice requirement that's in the CARES Act that will potentially protect tenants at least until August 25th. Again, does this make your rent go away? No. You still owe the rent. It just is giving you extra time to come up with another plan. You've done a great job, Ted, of letting people know about different ways people can get help. Like when you had United Way, Janelle Donahue on this week, you made sure to mention about the rent and mortgage relief program that they're now helping to administer. So that's the kind of thing that people are hoping to tap into during these 30-day moratoriums or these breathing rooms to just give a little bit of time to scramble around, make the application to United Way or to another organization, and try to get some money so that that can forestall the eviction.
Boy, and that is, it really is worth getting a hold of Rappahannock United Way. RappahannockUnitedWay.org is the website, and they have money and want to help area residents who've been affected, and that if you're up against it, that really is one of the first places you want to go.
Sure. And regardless of any of the other things we've been talking about, you're really always going to be under the threat of eviction if you can't pay your rent. So there's moratoriums and there's, you know, deadlines that they've pushed back and all kinds of lovely things. But ultimately, over time, somebody needs that money. And you're going to need to come up with that money. So that's the other piece of this that we want to make sure people understand is while you are waiting during this moratorium or during these breaks or extra time that you've been given, this is the time to be scrambling and to be trying to come up with that source of funding. Because unless somebody somewhere just decides that all rent is, you know, going to go away, which I don't think is going to happen, you're going to eventually have to pay that. So that's where I think the energy needs to be spent is in figuring out where are the sources of income, where can we get that money, how can we pull that in to make sure that landlords are made whole and that tenants are not out on the street.
And boy, and one of the things that you've emphasized every time we talk, the numbers of people just locally that are really impacted by this, when you've given some of the numbers on just the court dockets of eviction cases that are coming up in court, it's staggering. I mean, there's a lot of people impacted by this.
Sure, and we just looked at statewide, you know, across the entire Commonwealth, we're looking at 10,000 eviction cases being scheduled between now and the middle of September. And when you think about that, I think that's just going to still explode. There's going to be even more cases being filed every day. But also here in this area, just in Stafford, just in Spotsy, we're seeing, you know, 20, 60, 80, and that's just scheduled for one day in court.
Right.
So it's going to grow. These are not going away. We keep on hoping that it'll get better, but I think it's going to be really difficult. We still have one more tool that tenants can use, and that is a state law. We've been talking about the federal law, that CARES Act provision about federally backed mortgages and all that. But now there's a state law, and that's been in effect since April, and it gives a tenant the opportunity to show up at that first return date when they're being evicted or when they're being brought to court to decide whether there should be an eviction. And if that tenant brings in written proof that they've lost income due to the COVID pandemic, the judge can give them a 60-day continuance or postpone their case. It just gives them more time to come up with something else.
Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. A few more questions on this topic, and we will continue on with some other things this morning, too. Legalaidworks.org, the website to check out a lot of good information. And as Ann mentioned before, the Virginia Poverty Law Center is at vplc.org. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
And Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works. LegalAidWorks.org is the website. And just in case, Ann, there is someone saying, who is Legal Aid Works and what is that? Describe what you do and, just the great work that you're providing for the community.
So our organization is a private nonprofit law firm for the low-income folks in our community who have a civil legal problem. So there's absolutely no right to a free lawyer when you're poor and you have a civil legal problem. that free lawyer that everybody hears about on TV. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. That only applies if you've been accused of a crime. So if you're low income, can't afford a lawyer, and you have a civil legal case, tough luck. That's our system. So we exist because it bugs us when people are treated unfairly simply because they can't afford a lawyer in a civil case. So we go in to represent people in family law cases where custody and support are at issue. We help people get civil protective orders, things like that. We help people avoid illegal evictions or foreclosures. We help people sort out their problems when they are a debtor, when they owe money to creditors and are being harassed by creditors. We help people with any kind of public benefits issues. Oh, they didn't calculate my food stamps correctly. I've been denied my unemployment benefits, but I think I deserve them. So they help. And we cover three different service areas, 17 counties. We have an office in Culpeper, in Fredericksburg, and in Tappahannock. And we're covering those 17 counties, 51 courts in those 17 counties. And we do that all on a shoestring with just six lawyers.
Wow. I was just writing down because I thought it was eight lawyers. So I didn't realize it was six.
We had budget cuts. We had a grant that allowed us to have more lawyers, and then that grant went away. So those lawyer positions went away.
Yeah.
So we're back down to a scrappy six, and they are in court all the time. I'm super, super proud of them. They are very resilient and tough and creative, and they just love helping people.
Well, I have enjoyed getting to know some of the six scrappy lawyers that you have there, as you've been able to bring them in different times when we were doing more of in studio kind of things, and I look forward to that when that day returns, just because I'm always impressed at just how passionate they are about what they do with legal aid works and how they really have committed their lives to helping people.
Yeah, it's a mission. It's a calling. I always say it's rewarding in all but the monetary sense, because they certainly could make more anywhere else, but they choose to do this because it's such an important piece of the civil justice world. I don't think that our court systems were designed to be used by people who aren't represented. Court system was designed by lawyers for lawyers, and it makes perfect sense to lawyers, but it's not an easy system to navigate. And so you may have the law on your side or the facts on your side, but if you're not experienced and know really how to present yourself really well, which is what lawyers would be able to help with, you might lose a case, and that just seems unfair and ridiculous. We see that all the time. We're sitting there in court waiting for our cases to be heard. People up there floundering on other cases that we haven't represented, and it's just painful. We don't like seeing that at all. We want to make sure that people are level playing field. No more help than anyone else, but certainly leveling that playing field so that everyone is treated fairly and all the facts are put out there appropriately. Just we're talking a few minutes ago about how frustrating it is sometimes to see what we know is a law, the CARES Act and the federally backed mortgages and all that stuff. And if somebody isn't in there making that case really, really strongly, that just simply may go away and somebody gets evicted when they could have had that prevented. And that's really what shows you the power of having legal representation in a civil case. It's not just criminal cases where that would come in handy. It's really important to have good, solid legal advice when you're going into court.
And if people want to get involved and help prop you up and just become part of what Legal Aid Works in this community, go to legalaidworks.org. There's a donate button, and there are ways to help you out that way.
Absolutely. We in fact had volunteers this summer, all remote. They were our usual summer interns and law clerks. and we never had them in our building. They were all doing research. They were looking up court dockets to determine which courts were doing the most evictions so that we could target those with our scarce resources. So there's all kinds of ways in which people can help. Certainly, the best way to do that is to either donate or to go on our website and fill out an application to be a volunteer.
LegalAidWorks.org, again, the website to find out how to get involved. And I know monthly donors or anything is accepted and gratefully used.
It certainly is. We do a lot with a little, and we're very responsible stewards of your donations. We really appreciate it when people can give us a little bit of help so that we can help more people.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here this morning. LegalAidWorks.org, again, is the website. Before we move on to a couple other things before we run out of time here this morning, Ann, we were talking about evictions and everything that is going on. You've talked about this a number of times and have had just some real good advice for people. But talk about some of the best ways to avoid eviction. I know one of the things you always talk about is stay in touch with either your mortgage company or your landlord. Don't just disappear when all of a sudden money gets tight.
Right. I would say there's two really good techniques to working with a landlord or a mortgage company. The first is absolutely communicating with them, making it super clear, here's what I have, here's what I can give you. I'm willing to come up with a payment plan. Don't make a payment plan you can't keep up with, but certainly just keep communicating with them. The second technique that I think goes along with that and makes the first technique work better is if you document everything. It's not enough to have a nice conversation over the phone. That's great, but as soon as you hang up that phone, there's no proof that that happened. So follow it up with an email. Follow it up with a letter that summarizes your conversation and what you think the results were. When I spoke with your property manager today, I heard from her that she was going to tell you this, 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 and this. Anything at all that can communicate but also document, so that later on, if there's any dispute, if there's anything that doesn't seem to happen even though the landlord promised it, you can have a paper trail that you can show to a court. So those are the two big techniques that I think are useful. Another would also be just know the resources that are out in your community. And so it's really important to get in touch with the United Way. It's really important to do any kind of outreach into the community to find out what's going on. Where can I get more help? The best approach that I can give everybody super quickly is just 211. If you dial 211, it's just like a lot of other 11s. So we all know 911 for emergencies. There's 811 for, I guess, digging, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For not digging up your telephone lines or whatever.
Yes.
But there's 211. That's an information hub in Virginia that has specific information on just so many things. Where's the nearest food bank that I can go to? What kind of mortgage or rental assistance is there in my community? They have the most comprehensive up-to-date list, so that I could give you lots of different numbers for different places in this community, but if you go to 211, they have all of those. So those are the things that I would say if you're really looking down the barrel of the gun and you're thinking, I'm going to be evicted. Communicate with the landlord. Try very hard to document everything that you've communicated to them about. Put it in writing. And make sure you know about what's going on in the community of places that you can go to get help to get that money that will forestall an eviction.
The General Assembly's meeting in special session middle of August, and some of these issues as far as tenants and homeowners, I know that's on the agenda to be talked about.
It is. So the General Assembly is coming back for a special session, and that's going to be, I think, August 18th. So kind of look out for what's happening there. They have one very big piece of legislation that they're going to be considering about. They have a lot of different proposals for dealing with police brutality, Black Lives Matter. They have a lot of stuff on their agenda. So that was one of the main reasons why they came back into session and said that they're going to have a special session and not just wait until next January. But they also recognized that there were going to be some pandemic-related issues, both in terms of the budget, what can they and can they not afford, because they threw a lot of things that they had put in the budget out of the budget temporarily because they realized it would be so difficult, with state revenues being so uncertain. One of the other pieces that I think they're going to try to do is potentially talk about an eviction or foreclosure moratorium on the state level. So this isn't the CARES Act, which is federal. This would be on a statewide level. And one of the sponsors of a potential eviction moratorium is our own delegate, Joshua Cole. So we're going to be talking to him next week and see if we can find out a little bit more about the parameters of that, what he is putting into that legislation, or at least proposing. And I think it's a huge open question about whether that's even going to be considered and whether it'll pass or not. But be aware that even as early as August 18th or 19th or whenever the dust settles on that special session, we might see another significant tool in our toolbox to help prevent evictions.
Wow, that is as much as we have talked about that. That will be interesting to watch. And again, you're right. It's the 18th that the General Assembly goes back into session. And this is all this, like you say, this the numbers here and the issue. This is an issue that's not going to go away, especially as we look at the economy right now.
And it is affecting everyone because. It's about the landlords. It's about the communities. It's about everybody who's affected when one person is put out on the street. So there's an absolute ripple effect in the economy if we don't do something about this that addresses the need of the landlord to get the rent money, the need of the tenant to be housed. Oh, and by the way, everybody not die from a pandemic. There's so much at issue here, and I don't think that it would be possible for that special session to not grapple with that issue. I just don't know what they're going to do. It will be really interesting to see, the sausage making that goes on there and what finally comes out. Will it be as strong as when it, comes in there as a bill proposed? Mm-hmm. Sometimes pieces of it are pulled away and aren't enacted. So we'll see what happens with that. But just know that one of the things we'll be watching really closely during that special session.
And again, if you're a person who is having trouble with making a mortgage or rent, check out Rappahannock United Way and their mortgage and rent assistance program, rappahannockunitedway.org, the website. To find out more information, or you can go to our Facebook page and you can see a real quick video with Janelle Donahue talking about that program. We need to take a break, and when we come back, we will wrap this up with Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org, the website. We will be right back.
Germana, Virginia's number. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here this morning. Before we get out of here, Ann, you have a week or so ago, we had a Zoom webinar with Germana Community College, and another one is coming up.
It is, and I really appreciate the folks at Germana. We've been talking for, I'm going to say, a year or two with them about different ways that our organization could help their students. Because their students are sometimes low income, trying to figure out their rights on all kinds of different areas. So we've, from time to time, come into their campus and done a few little Know Your Rights events. And just as the pandemic was hitting, we were thinking about ways to do more outreach with them and their students. And they came up with the idea of doing a Zoom webinar. We did the first one on the third week of July. We're going to do one again on the third week of August. So that's August 17th. And it's going to be at 4 o'clock. It'll be a Zoom webinar. The topic is going to be your rights as a debtor. So what that means is, you know, you owe money to somebody. What can they do? How do garnishments work? Would a bankruptcy make this all go away? Things like that. So people are thinking about that a lot now. So we'll be covering that topic. And the best way to get find up and know when that is and how that works is to follow the Germanna Community College Facebook page. They did a great job of publicizing the first one. So just look on their Facebook page for details on how to jump onto that Zoom webinar, August 17th at 4 o'clock.
Before we get out of here this morning, we started the show talking about the $600 unemployment benefit ending today, but you made a great point that while that may be ending today, and we'll see what Congress does, there still are a lot of other parts of unemployment that are not going away. That's just one piece.
Sure. And the only thing that's going away as of today is the $600 that was an extra added, automatically added benefit because of the COVID crisis. Your regular unemployment benefits do not stop on the 31st of July. You still have 13 extra weeks because the CARES Act extended state programs by 13 weeks. And you also have the potential, if you don't qualify for traditional unemployment benefits, to apply for pandemic unemployment assistance if you're self-employed, an independent contractor, a freelancer, just looking for part-time work, or don't have enough work history to qualify for traditional unemployment. So that runs through December 31st. So by all means, apply, see what is out there, and it just won't be the $600 extra. That's the only thing that's changed as of today.
LegalAidWorks.org is Ann's website, LegalAidWorks.org. Also, you always mention the Virginia Poverty Law Center at VPLC.org. VPLC.org. Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works. Ann, great to talk to you. We will again talk soon. Great information. Thanks.
Thank you, Ted.
That is it. We'll see you Monday
Thanks
morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.